You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 9th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is Video Game Chronicles, Jordan Midler.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing good, Jordan. How's it going with you?
Yeah, pretty good. Just finished up for the day. Now doing this with you, we've got a bit of news to talk about, so very excited.
I'm super excited for this. Welcome to the show. Of course, I'm having you on because I probably reference and source Video Games Chronicle more than any other news website on our show. And I don't know why, like, me versus Greg Miller versus whoever else is hosting, right? Like, Greg Miller will do a lot of Games Industry Biz. He'll do a lot of IGNs. Like, I like to do the IGNs as well. But Video Games Chronicle, I'd say, is maybe my favorite source for video game news because you guys are low-key always kind of breaking certain things. And then also, like, the you guys' writing style fits perfectly for how I like to host the show where it is. Concise, you guys get the facts right, get the news, get the context, get the relevant quotes, and then you're out. And I'm like, that is exactly perfect for what I need from KFGD. And I know that you guys like to listen to KFGD every now and then too, and so I wanted to get that nice collaboration, that nice crossover going. And so welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. No, that's very kind. My boss Andy Robinson, the big boss of VGC, will be very happy to hear that, because that's exactly the kind of way he wants VGC thought of, in terms of it's just straight news. There's no opinion in there. It's just straight news. And every so often we'll drop you some big exclusives and things like that. But yeah, I've been listening to Kind of Funny shows basically since those guys left IGN. So it's very nice to be on.
How long have you been working with VGC?
So I first worked with VGC at the launch of the PS5 because I had one for review for BBC. And Andy was looking for someone to review Demon's Souls, so I worked with him then. And then I did a few reviews after that. Then earlier this year, I started doing news, and I joined full time about 8 days ago. So,
oh wow! Oh, congratulations!
Right at the start. Thank you.
That's awesome. What's your official position?
Officially a staff writer, but it's a bit of we're a lean team. Everyone does everything. It's a bit like Kind of Funny in that sense. There's no real designated roles apart from Andy's the big boss. Doing a bit of everything. I do a lot of reviews, news, anything that's needed, really.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm excited to get into the show because we got a lot of big news to talk about. But before we get there, I do want to ask you the key question, right, that gets people to know you. What is your favorite game of all time?
So since I read this in the doc, I've been absolutely full of terror because I'd never have a good answer for this. It like changes depending on the era of my life. Tell people it was Shadow of the Colossus because I think it made me sound smart.
Shadow of the Colossus, you can stop there because that is the one that doesn't get enough. I mean, people love Shadow of the Colossus, but then like a lot of people hate on Shadow of the Colossus, say it's overrated, yada yada. Those people are wrong. But yeah, yes, no Shadow of the Colossus is a great answer.
You'll soon find out that a lot of people that play games and like talk about games have absolutely no clue what they're talking about. So like I wouldn't take any Shadow of the Colossus slander seriously, but it kind of changed depending on the year. Like there was a long time where I was really into GTA 5 because a lot of my friends were into GTA 5.
I know why I got you on this show. You're a man after my own heart. You're naming all the right games.
There's a connect. Don't worry, that's about to end. There's my most played game every year without fail is FIFA. I don't particularly
Are you just the Scottish version of me? Like what's happening here?
I have been told that is in my that will be in my Twitter bio after this show is finished. But it's always, I don't particularly like FIFA. I dream of an amazing football game because I love football, but because FIFA is there, I just play infinite amounts of it. But to return my thread, I used to love Rocket League.
Rocket League is like a low-key amazing soccer game. Like I know people look at it and they're like, oh yeah, it's soccer with cars, like it's not real soccer. But like when you're playing Rocket League, you're thinking about it the way that I would think about playing soccer or football in real life, where it is, all right, let's get the right angle on the ball. Let's kick at the right angle, getting the ball movement, like rotating positions, all that stuff. Like Rocket League is up there for me as well.
Rocket League is brilliant, but the problem was people got so good at it that I felt like I couldn't have fun playing it because I was just being absolutely dominated by these people that could like fly the cars and stuff like that. But back in the day when Rocket League came out on PS Plus, that was like, those were some halcyon days. But yeah, I you know, that's like when you review stuff, you end up playing absolutely everything. So it's hard to focus on one thing for a really long extended period of time. But stuff recently, like last year, my game of the year was Returnal. This year, I've loved Arceus.
I love this guy.
I didn't want to say it because I saw you wearing the jumper, but legitimately top five all time for me is Skate 2. I tweeted, I was one of the people abusing EA in the Instagram comment saying hashtag Skate 4 over and over again. So glorious day that it's returned. Let's just this and we'll just talk about games for an hour. There's no point doing news.
Dude, at this point, it's like, I don't even want to talk about news. I just want to talk about our favorite games because it seems like we have very similar tastes. But Jordan, we got to talk about news because we got some big news to talk about. So enough about your amazing taste in video games. Let's talk about Activision Blizzard games remaining multi-platform, a leaked Assassin's Creed game, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in. And silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping for you, we're reacting to that Nintendo Direct later today. It's going to be Tim, Greg, Andy, and myself. Make sure to tune into that right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And then also, remember, if you're near a window, I need you to roll down your window or roll up your window if your window goes up, or roll it to the side, depending on what kind of window you have, right? Stick your nose out there, right? Take a whiff. That's right. It's the smell of review season. And your next episode of the Kind of Funny Games cast will be our Horizon Forbidden West review. That'll be up on Monday, Valentine's Day, on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, James Davis at James Davis Mix, Pranksy, Manny the Bagel Boy Sanchez, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by ExpressVPN and Chime, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. Microsoft confirms that Activision Blizzard will release games on PlayStation beyond existing agreements. This broke this morning. I'm going to pull from Joe Scrubbles at IGN. Microsoft has confirmed that Call of Duty and other popular Activision Blizzard titles will not just be released on PlayStation to honor existing contracts, but, quote, beyond the existing agreement and into the future, end quote. In a piece published to explain how the company will adapt to gain regulatory approval for its Activision Blizzard takeover, President Brad Smith addressed concerns that popular games would no longer be available on competing consoles. Quote, to be clear, Microsoft will continue to make Call of Duty and other popular Activision Blizzard titles available on PlayStation through the terms of any existing agreement with Activision. And we have committed to Sony that we will also make them available on PlayStation beyond the existing agreement and into the future so that Sony fans can continue to enjoy the games that they love, end quote. Previous reports have indicated that the next three Call of Duty games would come to PlayStation, but not indicated what's beyond that. Smith added that Microsoft would be looking to assure the same for Activision Blizzard games on Nintendo consoles. Quote, we're also interested in taking similar steps to support Nintendo's successful platform. We believe this is the right thing for the industry, for gamers, and for our business, end quote. There are caveats here, of course. Smith does not commit to all traditionally multi-format Activision Blizzard games coming to PlayStation and Nintendo, nor does he commit to this agreement existing in perpetuity. This is to say nothing of brand new games developed within Activision Blizzard after a takeover takes place. Jordan, let's back up a bit, right?
Yeah.
Activision Blizzard, or Microsoft buys Activision Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
What did that announcement, what did that acquisition do for you in terms of what it means for Activision Blizzard?
I think it was interesting in terms of, it felt like Activision was a company that was in a seriously difficult position. It didn't feel like the Bethesda merger, whereas the Bethesda merger was Xbox essentially making up for their lack of first party. Activision merger felt more like, well, Activision is going to sell to someone, it better be us instead of the other team. So I think that the further that along this one goes, I never thought Call of Duty was going to be exclusive. That just seemed out of the question, especially because of the user base. Like, if you think of Call of Duty's user base and how many of them are on PlayStation, sure, when you don't sell the next Elder Scrolls to PlayStation fans, you lose that money on day one. But if you don't sell Call of Duty to PlayStation fans, you lose all the skins and all the battle passes and all the infinite amount of money following that. So this news didn't surprise me. I suppose there's been some speculation that it's Microsoft getting out in front of the FTC and saying, it's okay, don't worry, no monopoly here, sir. So
exactly. With that, I do want to bring in a question. Connor wrote in to KFGD and says, hey there, KFGD crew. With Xbox saying it plans on keeping COD on PlayStation beyond current contractual obligations, do you think it hurts or helps the chances of Game Pass one day winding up on PlayStation, right? I want to throw that question in there, but I also want to bring in another question at the same time, and where I want to tackle all this at once because there's a lot to dig into here, yeah. Right? Grezik also writes in and says, hey guys, Microsoft has made their most definitive statement about continuing to release Call of Duty on other Activision Blizzard titles and other Activision Blizzard titles on other consoles. What do you think is behind this? Is it a tit for tat regarding Bungie titles? Could it be an attempt to look better for regulators? Is it just them not wanting to limit COD's potential revenue? Thanks for all you do, Grezik. And that kind of gets to where you're getting at a little bit here, Jordan, which is, you know, why announce this now and why announce this period, right? Like, what is the point of all this? And I do think a big part of this is to get ahead of it for regulators, right? Making sure that making sure that for these conversations, they're in the clear for an argument that they don't have a monopoly here, right? Like, we're not just buying every single company and then keeping everything for ourselves and segmenting off a whole audience from getting these games, right? I think that's a big part of it, especially for Call of Duty being one of the most popular games on any gaming platform right now, right? We talk about it where last year, Call of Duty was not just the number one highest selling game on PlayStation, it was the number two highest best selling game on PlayStation between Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War and then Call of Duty Vanguard, right? And I think that works in tandem also with the sales thing that you're talking about, which is Call of Duty is a very popular game on PlayStation. Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard for $68 billion. You don't spend that much money to buy a publisher and their IP and then go, cool, now let's cut off this amount of money that we're making from this IP, right? And then make this game only on Xbox and PC and keep it as a Game Pass thing, right? I think there are other ways to stay competitive while also taking advantage of this big deal that you made. And I think being able to say that we have Call of Duty, the franchise, the entire Call of Duty franchise, along with the new games on Game Pass, on Xbox, right? With the updates that you'd get maybe on PlayStation, right? Where it is like the exclusive special ops mode or the skins or whatever that stuff, right? Being able to own that stuff on Xbox and have it on Game Pass is a very, very competitive move, especially when you look at, cool, what does that mean for PlayStation? It means that if you're on the PlayStation platform, you might still have to pay $70, $60 to buy the next Call of Duty game. And then you're also not getting the exclusive stuff. You're not getting maybe Call of Duty eventually coming to PS Plus and things like this, right? You're still losing out on that platform. And it turns into a competition of services rather than purely a competition of boxes, right? Xbox Series X versus PS5. No, it is Xbox as a platform versus PlayStation as a platform and being able to still make all that money on PlayStation's platform and have access to all those players.
Yeah, the play isn't let's make it so PlayStation players can't play Call of Duty. It's let's make it so why would PlayStation players play Call of Duty on PlayStation? That's got to be the way they're, because if they position it that way, they still get the good guy Microsoft, good guy Phil Spencer, we're not taking your games away from you. Sure, we did it with the Bethesda titles, but let's forget about that. It's fine, that doesn't really count. If they make it such an undeniable kind of proposition on Game Pass side of playing Call of Duty, people will go. It will only take one console generation for the people that only play Call of Duty to think, I suppose last time we did get PlayStation, but this time maybe we get Xbox. So I think it's also worth thinking about what Microsoft bought Activision for that isn't Call of Duty, because Call of Duty is a series that is in various states of stagnation for a long time now. You've got to imagine that Microsoft wants the next thing from Activision, from those teams that will be exclusive, that will never have the perception of them taking it away from PlayStation because it was never there in the first place. And while I think the idea of a Destiny kind of Cold War against Call of Duty, where as long as both of them are on both platforms, everyone will be happy, is somewhat compelling. I think thinking of Destiny and Call of Duty as the kind of playing cards is kind of thinking of in the old way. It's about what franchises are coming from these companies next. And that's when things will start getting locked down, or you can only play them on PlayStation through the Game Pass app.
And I mean, then that's where we bring in Connor's question here, right? Of like, you know, what does this announcement do for the chances of Game Pass coming to PlayStation one day? Because we've had the conversations in the back and forths on Kind of Funny across different shows about, is Game Pass eventually coming to PlayStation? I'm somebody who thinks yes. I think Game Pass will come to PlayStation at some point. I don't think it'll happen soon necessarily, but like my bet is by 2026, maybe we will see a form of Game Pass on PlayStation. My argument there is the fact that like you're as Xbox, right? Being able to look at PlayStation and an install base of over 100 million units between the PS4 and PS5, right? Like that is a lot of consoles. That is a big install base of units, and getting your games and getting your service to that many users, right? That's a big deal, right? Like that is a lot of money that you can make there, right? And I think it is the thing of us talking about what is competition versus what is opportunity for me, where, you know, I think there is the thing of Xbox probably looks at PlayStation and goes, you're a competitor and we want to make sure that we're one-upping you at every step. But I also think you can look at that and go, you know, hey, you are an opportunity for us to make more money. We see your user base and like, hey, if you can't beat them, just take the user base, right? Put Game Pass on PlayStation and try to make money that way. And as PlayStation, I can see the argument for, well, if these guys keep buying up all these companies and they keep taking up these games that were multi-platform, that were third party, how much does it hurt to get those games back on our platform by allowing Game Pass to be on there, right? And I think that is the biggest hurdle. I think that is the biggest difficulty with it, is that like I think it's more difficult to view from the PlayStation side rather than the Xbox side. But I do think with that, as much money that is getting thrown around right now, it is kind of an inevitability, right? If it doesn't happen with Activision Blizzard and Xbox buying them, does it happen when Xbox buys Square Enix? Does it happen when Xbox buys Sega? Does it happen when Xbox buys Ubisoft or whoever the next big acquisition is, right? I think you kind of just go down until like people throw their hands up and go, all right, well, this is different now, right? This isn't the same games industry that it was. Things are changing and we had to change and adapt to that. But, you know, to go back to Connor's question of what does this do for Game Pass on PlayStation? I do think that I don't know if this changes much. I think this throws a wrench in terms of Call of Duty being the thing that would make PlayStation break and go, fine, we'll put Game Pass on PlayStation. You know, I think Call of Duty would have been the big thing that you would play there, right? Like the big card you would play in that conversation. But if Call of Duty is coming to PlayStation anyway, then it's hard for me to see what the other thing will be. I think it'll happen. I think something will come through, but I can't tell you exactly what the A to the B to the C will be.
Yeah, and if you believe the kind of speculation around the Microsoft acquisition of Activision, there was already 3 Call of Duty titles committed to PlayStation that would have had to release contractually. So it's the kind of thing where even if Xbox were keen on putting a Game Pass wrapper around Call of Duty when you played it on PlayStation, that might not come to pass for a few years, and by then it might already be there. I don't imagine that one day you will open the Game Pass app on PlayStation and it will have the exact same interface as on Xbox. You'll have all these hundreds of games. It feels like when you used to open a Ubisoft game on PC and the kind of the Uplay wrapper would come up. I think that is the kind of thing that will happen, because PlayStation still has a lot of pride in themselves. So I think they will try to play down the fact that a Game Pass equivalent happen. I don't think it changes the direction of travel that much. I think it's more of a hearts and minds thing, because like Xbox do have a great reputation just now, but people are kind of weary of these acquisitions. So if they can come out and be like, well, Call of Duty is going to be on both, it's just a good PR move more than anything.
Yeah. What do you think this means for other Activision Blizzard franchises then? You know, Overwatch 2 is one that's in the air in terms of a game that is supposed to come out at some point. Never. I would have thought that it would have been out by
canceled.
Now, but like...
completely cancelled.
Yeah, like where the fuck is Overwatch 2, right? But like when Overwatch 2 eventually gets here, if it eventually gets here, do you think that ends up multi-platform? Because they are talking about, right, they name drop Call of Duty, but then they also say, talk about the big Activision Blizzard titles, right? Like, is Overwatch 2 one that you imagine being multi-platform when it comes out, or do you think that will be Xbox exclusive?
No, I think that's got to be the multi-platform one. And they also mentioned Nintendo in that statement. And when I read that, I assumed that referred to Overwatch, because I don't see them putting COD or Warzone on the Switch or anything like that. Like, can you imagine how poorly that would run? It runs badly on a PS5, so I don't know what that would look like. So I have to imagine that things like Overwatch 2 and like Diablo 4, whenever these games that have been delayed 50 million times actually come out, those are easily put on multi-platforms. But I think they will also... looking to think, we have Blizzard now. What can we? Blizzard have had a bad time of it for the past 5-10 years for lots of different reasons. What can we do now to bring Blizzard back to when they were like Blizzard, when they were the name and quality and games? And I think those new games will end up just being on Xbox or on Game Pass. But I think Overwatch 2, when it releases in 2067 or whatever, I think that will come to everything. But don't know, man. Yeah. Don't know about Overwatch 2.
Overwatch 2 is one that I could see coming to everything, but I think anything beyond that is where things get tricky. Because you mentioned like, what are the other games that we're talking about when you're talking about games that might come to Switch even? And like, I go over to videogameschronicle.com where there was an article that was put up by Chris Scullion weeks and weeks ago when the acquisition first happened, right? And he made a list of all the IP that Microsoft now has, now that they've bought Activision Blizzard, right? And the list goes on of games that aren't active, right? Like, it is, you're talking about the active games, you're talking about Call of Duty, Candy Crush, Overwatch, but then you get into other games and it's like, all right, they're not making a new Blur, you know, you're not gonna get...
Why not though? Why are they not making a new Blur? Like,
want a new Blur?
Yes, absolutely. A new Blur and a new Split Second. I want them to release on the same day. I just want it to be that Xbox 360 era once again. The one on that list that I want more than anything is Tony Hawk. Like, I just want them to take Tony Hawk seriously again.
See, and that's where I get to, where I go down the list, and of course I name all these games that are inactive or and that I can't see coming back, unless there's somebody at Xbox that's like, no, we need to bring back King's Quest, which I think there was a Phil Spencer quote that was like, I want to bring back King's Quest.
Pitfall, but, new Pitfall for the new generation.
Yeah, bring back a new Pitfall. Pitfall, sorry. But like, you know, you go through the list and then you get to things like Guitar Hero or Tony Hawk or Crash Bandicoot, and it's like, all right, I can see the argument for some of those, right? Spyro the Dragon, like the more popular games on the list that we've seen iterations of, but like, we don't necessarily have an excitement for what the future hope for these games are, right? Like Tony Hawk, the 1+1+2 HD remake came out a couple years ago. Since Activision has kind of made the shift of making every studio Call of Duty studio, I've had no hope for whatever the next Tony Hawk game is. Now I kind of do, now that they're under Xbox, definitely. Right? Same with Crash, same with Spyro, same with these other big franchises. And those are the ones that I see being Xbox exclusive. I don't see a reason for Xbox to make Tony Hawk and put it everywhere, right? Unless it is like we're in the future where Game Pass is everywhere. I don't see the reason for that. And I think that's what we're talking about in terms of this tiered structure, where Call of Duty, there's so much money that's on the table. That makes sense to put everywhere with how popular that franchise is. Overwatch 2 is one that I could see going everywhere again. I could see the argument for it not going everywhere because it's not necessarily Call of Duty, but at the same time, when you're talking about Overwatch League, when you're talking about how big and wide that franchise is, and when you're talking about the multiplayer aspect of it, I could see an argument for that one too. Everything else, I'm like, I don't know if I can see any of the other Activision Blizzard games not being exclusive to Xbox and PC on the Xbox platform.
Yeah, and it also, if you think about it from Microsoft's perspective, if they can get a new Crash and a new Spyro up and running, like, Microsoft don't have a Ratchet and Clank. They don't have that kind of like big AAA kind of family game, but they do now. Like, they have the ability to do it now. And if you take into account all of the Rare IP they have, they could take Toys for Bob and get them to make a new Banjo game. Like, that's a perfect fit. Like, it goes both ways. It's not necessarily just getting Activision Studios to make all these Activision games. I think that Xbox will be leveraging things beyond Call of Duty and beyond, like, the... Obviously, King is a huge part of this acquisition. They have nothing in the mobile space, and now suddenly they have the Candy Crush people. So, yeah, I think it will be... I don't think they're just going to go down the list and start production on all of them. But if I was being selfish, Tony Hawk Underground 3, please.
Oh my God. Again, a man that's after my own heart. Bring back Tony Hawk Underground. Give me a Hawk Underground 1+2 HD remake. You know, like, just give me... Also give me 3+4, right? Give me all the Tony Hawk games. Or at least, like,
absolutely.
Pro Skater 1 through 4 and then Underground 1 and 2. Just for me. Please. I beg you. Jordan, It's been good talking about Activision Blizzard, Microsoft, all these things, but that's not where it ends for big news and big franchises. So let's hop into story number two, which is from Bloomberg. Jason Schreier, Ubisoft is planning a new Assassin's Creed game. Jason's article reads like this. Ubisoft has turned an Assassin's Creed expansion into a standalone game to help fill out its thin release schedule, according to people familiar with the project. The game, codenamed Rift, was originally planned as an expansion for 2020's Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but morphed into a full game late last year, said the people, speaking anonymously because they weren't authorized to talk to the media. It will star Basim, a popular assassin character from Valhalla, and will be smaller in scope than recent games in the series, the people said. The game won't be a massive open-world role-playing game like previous recent entries, focusing instead more on stealth gameplay, and is planned for later this year or 2023. Assassin's Creed, which has sold more than 155 million units, was once an annualized franchise, but in recent years has taken more time between releases, leading to higher quality games. Rift will arrive before Assassin's Creed Infinity, an ambitious online service game that will contain multiple historical settings, as Bloomberg reported last year. Jordan, are you an Assassin's Creed person?
I am and I'm not. I love the Ezio trilogy. I think Odyssey's a great game. I'm sick of these Assassin's Creed games being like larger than most European countries. So the idea of this smaller one is great. This is exactly what I wanted to hear. But I don't know. What do you think? When they said this character that people love,
real quick, Jordan, your mic is having like distortion. Static. There's like a little static coming through. You might want to, might want to unplug it. Maybe play with the XLR a little bit.
Jiggle that XLR.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like in terms of what I think about it, right? Like I'm not a big Assassin's Creed person. I think the big Assassin's Creed person on the team is Greg Miller, and there's also Barrett Courtney who loves Assassin's Creed. I think Kevin Coelho also likes Assassin's Creed. Pretty much everybody here.
Love me some Odyssey.
Kevin, does this do anything?
How's that?
For you?
Are we okay?
Sorry, Jordan.
Yeah, talk a little bit more.
Hello, Assassin's Creed.
It does sound improved. I'll let you know if it comes back. And then as far as Assassin's Creed goes, I feel like because I love Assassin's Creed, but I don't love every Assassin's Creed game. And it really is one of those things that until I get sticks on hand, like I don't know. So, like, just news of, like, hey, this thing that was going to be a DLC is now a full-blown game. Like, that doesn't get me excited. But, I'm curious to find out.
How much of Valhalla did you play? Are you familiar with Basim?
I don't know any of the names of anyone. So, I'm not. Okay, no, I don't think I'm familiar with him. But, I might be. I played, like, half of the game.
Hmm. Does the idea of like a smaller Assassin's Creed, because like you said, you love Odyssey, right? Which is one of the ones that came after like the shift to them going bigger and way more world RPG with it, right? Instead of like open world action, which Assassin's Creed kind of was before. Mm-hmm. This seems like it's taking a trip back, but maybe even smaller, right? Like these are leaked rumored details, but like it seems like this isn't going to be the Assassin's Creed that we've gotten of the last couple of years being this wide, varied 50-hour thing, right? This seems like it's going to be way more contained and way more. They mentioned here, right, it being stealth-focused. Does that do anything for you, or does that make you, Kevin, go, oh, no, I'm just going to wait for whatever the thing is after this?
I'm probably more towards, like, I really like the expanded, like, Egypt I thought was really cool, and so does the Mediterranean islands. And the menu is, like, for those games, is ridiculous. But, like, I got used to it, and I really liked it. I like how diverse the menu was. I liked it. Like, my favorite thing is going up and opening up all the, like, eagle towers, right? So that I can see everything on the map. But, like, I am curious about this, and I'm definitely open to see more. And, like, I'm in a very, like, tentative, like, interested place.
Mm. Yeah, like, this is one that doesn't speak to me just because I don't go crazy for Assassin's Creed, right? But like I am interested to see what Assassin's Creed Infinity is, because I think a big thing for me with Assassin's Creed lately is the fact that between Valhalla, Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origins, it seems like it's becoming way more of an investment to get into an Assassin's Creed game. Like you smack one in front of me and it's like, cool, spend 50 to 80 hours in this game. I look at that and I'm like, Absolutely not, right? Like I only have, there's only rare games that like I'm going to spend that much time in. I have to be in love with a franchise like that, right? Ghost of Tsushima, I played for 80 hours. Like a game like that, that I absolutely adore and love, I have, that's what I'm going to make that investment into. This Assassin's Creed codenamed Rift game with Basim, if it's short, maybe I'll give it the time, but also like I just don't get inherently excited for it. Assassin's Creed Infinity, it being this ongoing, like, you know, live service Assassin's Creed game that's going to get stories as you go, kind of speaks to me in the way that me playing Genshin Impact right now speaks to me, where it is I hop in and I'm not making a commitment to play this game forever. I play Genshin Impact up until I get bored and I'm like, cool, I'm out. And then they add new expansions, they add new characters, and I'm like, oh, cool, let me pop in, do a little bit, play for a few hours, maybe do a stream or two, and then I hop back out, right? If you're going to put out an Assassin's Creed that functions a little bit like that, where it is, here's, at the start, a 10-15 hour campaign with your favorite character. Cool, now we're going to add in a new one. Maybe you can switch between characters. And it has that Genshin Impact style. Hey, it's not about the finish line. It's about the ongoing journey over the course of however many years. I might be able to get into that, right? I think that might speak to me, at least in terms of not feeling intimidated by the amount of time that the game wants from me.
No, I totally get that. I think that the most recent Assassin's Creed that I really enjoyed was Odyssey. Is that the one with Cassandra in Greece?
Yeah, that sounds all right.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. But I skipped through all of the cutscenes because they were far too long. I just wanted to get on with the Assassin's Creeding of it. I thought Valhalla was way too overlong, way too. But you open the map in Valhalla and it just expands infinitely. I had no interest in that. But I think go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say somehow traversal doesn't feel as fast as it does in Odyssey. That was my big issue with Valhalla.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was because Valhalla came in for review while the Xbox Series X was in for review, so I was doing both at the same time and it was like this is far too much. But I think that Assassin's Creed is a franchise that every time there's a new one, I'm like, okay, this is the one. This is going to get me back to feeling like the Ezio games. But I mean, hopefully this does it. But we'll see. That new Assassin's Creed Valhalla DLC, the stuff that's more mythological, seems quite interesting. So I might dive into that.
Well, we'll have to wait and see on that one, Jordan. Before we get into our next news story, though, I do want to let people out there know that they can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Look, I get it. You don't watch porn, so maybe you're just paying attention to this ad for, you know, a friend. But with everything going on in the world, governments have increased surveillance. They're using your devices to track your location, movements, and in a lot of places, your internet activity. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through a secure, encrypted server so you can surf the web anonymously. Newsflash, incognito mode is a sham. Your ISP can still see every single site you visit. But with one click of a button, ExpressVPN keeps others from seeing all the freaky stuff you've been looking at. Yeah. Talking about you, Nick Scarpino. We've been using ExpressVPN for a long time. It's been keeping me safe, keeping me secure. I just feel better being out on the internet, knowing that ExpressVPN has my back. Protect your privacy today and get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Visit expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/kindoffunny to learn more. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. So new year, new you, maybe a you who leaves behind things that don't serve you, like those dang overdraft fees. When your checking account balance is running low, the last thing you need is an overdraft fee. But with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card, you can save that hard-earned cash money without paying overdraft fees. Eligible members can overdraft up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals with absolutely no overdraft fees. Make your first good decision in 2022 and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up only takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. Limits start at $20 and may be increased up to $200 by Chime. See Chime.com/spotme and go to chime.com/kfgames to get started.
And Jordan, during the break, you told me something that was very heartbreaking and upsetting.
I don't think you should repeat it. I don't think you should.
I don't think I should bring it up because it upset me, Kevin. It
Breath of the Wild is the quintessential 7 out of 10 game.
Wow. It's wild because like I for a second I was like we might be the same person. We might be the same person.
But it's like it's clear he's the evil clone now.
It's clear that like, oh, I didn't know there could be a more evil version of myself. I thought I was it. I thought if I met a twin that I'd be the bad one. It's the fact that like you don't like Breath of the Wild that much.
It's a good game. It's perfectly good. It's like a 7 out of 10 good game. But you know, like look, they made a Breath of the Wild like Assassin's Creed game and everyone was like, it's the most amazing thing ever. Like play another open world video game, they look better.
Oh
yeah, but like, even Assassin's Creed, I mean about how I added a lot more of the like climbing stuff. Oh man. Where it's like the terrain wasn't like it was all yours, and Breath of the Wild really made it like you go anywhere as long as you got enough stamina.
Oh yeah.
You can climb anything. There's the physics laborious.
As soon as it starts raining, it's a terrible game. Like I don't see.
That's part of the experience, right?
If you put on your rain outfit, you're fine.
That's the thing. You got to put on the rain outfit, or just don't climb at the when it's raining, right? Do something else.
It is history's greatest injustice that people think that Breath of the Wild is better than Mario Odyssey, and Mario Odyssey was 50 times the game that the Breath of the Wild is.
I mean, they're both 10 out of 10 games. They're both
great games.
We don't want to pit them against each other.
But I mean, if we were, I mean,
if we were, Breath of the Wild is the better game. But like, we don't have to have that conversation.
I mean, Breath of the Wild is probably like a top 15 Switch game. That is fair.
Oh, so you just don't like the Switch is what I'm hearing.
The best game on the Nintendo Switch is Pokemon Legends Arceus.
And you don't like... Okay, you know...
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I gotta get to it. It's just the fact that like, you love Pokemon Legends Arceus and you don't like Breath of the Wild.
But it does feel like a dumbed-down version of Breath of the Wild.
Well, I don't like Pokemon Legends Arceus for the Breath of the Wild stuff. I like Pokemon like Legends. Cynical. I like Pokemon. I just like the Pokemon. Like I have there's an Oshawa just slightly out of frame here. Breath of the Wild. I was actually really worried that Pokemon Legends Arceus was going to be too much like Breath of the Wild, but when I started reviewing it, I was like, thank God it's nothing like this. We can move on.
I don't know how to feel about this, and so I'm not gonna let myself feel this for too long. We're gonna get into the next news story. Story number three. We could have gotten a young Sully game. This is from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle, who joins us right now. Days Gone director Jeff Ross wanted to make an Uncharted game focused on a young Sully, he has revealed. Speaking on the Sacred Symbols Plus video show, paywall transcribed by VGC, the director discussed how following Sony's decision not to greenlight a sequel to Days Gone, the team started theorizing games with other Sony IP, including Uncharted. Quote, Victor Sullivan, at the age of 25, in a very stylized world where ... it would be around 1976, Ross revealed when pressed on his plan for the series. Quote, he busted out of the Navy for reasons, and I thought seeing him young and trying to figure out his way in this world, going from trying to be a soldier or, you know, a military man to now, I'm just out on the streets and I'm going to become a hustler, end quote. Ross went on to reveal that in his concept, Sully would evoke James Bond icon Sean Connery. Quote, a young, sexy Victor Sullivan to me would have been like Sean Connery, end quote. He also mentioned that films such as Joker and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's portrayal of the 70s influenced the idea. Quote, that's what I wanted to do without leaning into the cheesy parts of the 70s, he said. Ross noted that some stumbles with the concept included that they didn't feel there would have been enough opportunities for shootouts. He also mentioned that he didn't want to make the first Uncharted game where the player didn't shoot anybody, end quote. Jordan, first of all, this is your article. Thank you for writing it. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Secondly, what are your thoughts on this unreleased, never come to pass Uncharted game? Would you have been excited for a young Sully game?
Oh yeah, I love the Uncharted games. I think they get kind of unfairly talked down about because for they are very similar to each other, obviously. But I think the people like big action films. I love a good action film, and I think that's what the Uncharted games are. So I think this Sully game could have been cool. I don't really understand his point about wouldn't have been opportunities for shootouts, because I feel like you could just kind of just make things up. Like Victor Sullivan, to my knowledge, was not a real person, so you're not falling too tightly to any particular storyline. But I think that something smaller like Lost Legacy for Sully could have been really cool. I always expected them to do a Sam and Sully kind of spin-off from Uncharted 4, that never ended up materializing. But did you play the PS5 versions that came out a couple of weeks ago?
No, I didn't. I didn't get around to them. Like it's funny because I wanted to play Lost Legacy at least, because I love Lost Legacy. You know, it's my personal favorite Uncharted game. And yeah, reading through the synopsis, like this sounds like something that would have been cool to see, right? Like a young soul game where it is. Even and to touch on the same thing as you here, right? Like he's talking about there would not have been as many opportunities for shootouts. Yeah, one, like it's like, dude, it's your game. You can make opportunities for shootouts, create reasons for people to shoot each other. But also, like, I don't necessarily need that many opportunities for shootouts. One of the things I liked about Uncharted 4 is the fact that you go for quite a bit in that game without getting into heavy shootouts, right? Like, the moments happen, and they happen often when they do, but, like, the pacing of Uncharted 4 was very much, all right, cool, let's start off. You're in a prison. You're hanging out. You're doing, like, essentially walking sim-ish type gameplay. You get into a fist fight. Cool, now let's climb around. All right, finally we're in a shootout, right?
And yeah.
I do like the idea of figuring out different ways for that to work. You know, an Uncharted game, especially an Uncharted game that isn't a mainline Uncharted, that is the spinoff Uncharted, I don't think has to be like, you know, 50-80% shooting, right? Like, I like the idea of it being, no, what if we did focus more on the puzzle solving, like those mechanics, then also maybe the climbing, maybe we focus in on fist fighting as opposed to just shootouts, or maybe we give you one or two guns instead of four, or however many you'll get in Uncharted 4, right? Like, I like the ideas of taking that same game and switching up the formula because it is a different game, because you're making a game that's focused on solely that is in this setting. I think that's something that would have excited people. But like, just for the fact that it's young Sully, like, Sully's a great character. Yeah. Sully's a fan favorite character. I think that would have been cool to see a young Sully smoking a cigar, talking about El Goddamn Dorado and all that.
And when you think about one of the best things, obviously this wouldn't have been Naughty Dog, but one of the best things Naughty Dog have ever done is Left Behind, and that's a DLC where you don't fight anyone until the very end of the game. Like, there's plenty of precedent for taking these characters and just making it about, like, espionage and exploring, as you say, and having it be really limited gunfights. And you think of something like the bar fight in Uncharted 3, like, that could almost be from a game like that, where you're, like, throwing each other out the window and things like that. So while I think the idea is great, I don't quite understand the reasoning behind it not working. But obviously these kind of ideas are kind of percolating the studios all the time, so it's a shame this didn't happen.
Nice. And also like, first of all, I'm hearing the static again. You want to jiggle your XLR cable?
Yep, I would jiggle.
Hell yeah, get that jiggle on. And then also, like, I'm after playing Sifu, right? Like, Sifu is a beat 'em up game, right? And like, how many people love Sifu? I would be curious to see, like, could you make a beat-em-up Uncharted game where it is, hey, let's amp up the combat here. Like, let's amp up the combat mechanics, make it feel even better. Even though I think, like, the combat, the fist-to-fist combat in Uncharted 4, I thought it was pretty good. Like, I actually really liked it a lot more than the previous games. What if we can just focus in on that, improve that, and make it into something like that, right? Like a beat-em-up style game where it is, throw the guns into the sea. Let's just focus on solely throwing hands. I think there could be something there, you know, and when we're talking about, like, ideas not coming to fruition, all that stuff, I think we're also talking about Ben Studio here, right, and Jeff Ross, and we've had news stories before talking about the different ideas that are thrown out there. Like, I believe there was also a Resistance game that was conceptualized or talked about, at least, or pitched, and Sony also came to Ben Studio around this time and talked about, hey, what if you guys did something with an existing IP? What if you made Siphon Filter again, right? And it seems like a lot of this stuff was just in the idea stages, and I'm sure that, like, even though he blames it here on the you know, not enough opportunities for shootouts, yada yada, I'm sure it was a thing of, like, no, we just had a lot of ideas and we just couldn't choose one and we couldn't figure out what we want to do. And now that he's gone, right, I'm sure they're in the place of figuring out what they want to do. And so, like, yeah, this would have been interesting, though. Like, I would have been curious to see it.
I think this is also how you see Uncharted games going forward. I don't think Drake comes back, so I think kind of the extended cast of characters is something that we will see more of, especially, like, it feels strange to build up Sam and have such a beloved kind of actor and Troy Baker and not think about doing something else with him. So I think it'd be interesting to see where Uncharted goes beyond where it is kind of now, kind of dormant.
Yeah. Let's hop in to our next news story. Story number 4, Sony announces Gran Turismo Sophie, a new artificial intelligence. Remember, we talked about this on Monday on the show. We talked about how Sony AI was collaborating with Polyphony Digital, and we didn't know what that was, and we were guessing it was going to be Drivatars or something. We have the answer. This is Matt Perslow at IGN. Sony has announced Gran Turismo Sophie, an artificial intelligence built in collaboration between Sony AI and Polyphony Digital. Revealed as part of the Race Together media event, Sony claims that the new artificial intelligence, which has been trained using Gran Turismo Sport, can race competitively against the best Gran Turismo players in the world. In development tests, Gran Turismo Sophie was pitted against four of the world's best Gran Turismo Sports players across two separate events, one in July 2021 and a second in October 2021. The first test saw Sophie score 70 points across three different races, while the human team scored 86. After a few months of training, Gran Turismo Sophie was able to score 104 points in a second round of tests versus the humans team score of 52. Sophie won every race in the second test and set the best lap time. Sophie is trained through a deep reinforcement learning system using Sony Interactive Entertainment's cloud gaming infrastructure. The system trains the AI in three areas: physical realism, which teaches Sophie to control a car and exploit features of a track; real-time race tactics, which coaches the AI to master passing and optimize its use of racing line, or of the racing line, and sports etiquette, which trains Sophie to drive aggressive but fairly. While Gran Turismo Sophie is already displaying very impressive results, it's not something you should expect to see in GT7 at launch. However, Sony AI and PDI will explore how to investigate GT Sophie, how to integrate GT Sophie into future releases of the Gran Turismo series, says Michael Springer, COO of Sony AI, in a new post on the Sony AI website. This is like, if this is interesting because it's video game news, but it also feels like just pure tech news, and the way that, like, they mentioned that this might get integrated into GT7 at some point. But I think the real thing here is that, like, they're teaching AI how to drive, and, like, I'm sure this will have some application into self-driving cars and stuff like that. Like, I think that's what this is evolving into.
Yeah, I think the video game applications are obvious. Like, it might make for more engaging, like, single player content and like GTA 7 or something like that, where the races don't feel so dead. I don't really understand how you need to train a car to be good at driving in your game, but that's clearly because I'm not some kind of AI scientist. But as you say, the real question is, how is this going to be applied to real motorsport? Is this going to be applied to things like Formula E, which, if I'm not mistaken, is literally just the cars driving them, or like remote control cars essentially on like a massive scale? But it's the kind of thing you announce and it goes somewhat over your head, and then in 10 years time you find out that Sony's actually been making like a steady $1 billion a year because they sold this tech to like Mercedes or something like that. So it is interesting, especially interesting just being developed with Polyphony, because they are so, I mean, who on this earth knows more about cars than Polyphony? They basically live in them to try and make these games.
Yeah, and that's the exact thing, right? I think this is a cool news story more so for how this applies to outside of video games, and it is this video game studio in Polyphony Digital that is being approached and is being partnered with to make this thing work and make it cool, right? And like, this doesn't get me excited playing GT7 per se, right? Like, I'm already, like, where I'm at with GT7 is I want to try it because that game looks really cool. Like, the graphics look really good. And, you know, I like racing every now and then. And so I want to try it for that. I'm sure people who might be way more advanced and hardcore about GT7 than me might see this and get a little bit more excited, because it is, okay, cool, we're getting really good AI, right? We're getting AI that is smarter, that adapts, and that is going to be way more difficult for me to defeat. And so I'm sure that might be exciting, but I think the way more exciting thing here is the fact that Sony AI is looking at Polyphony Digital and like building something that is going to have way more applications, I think, outside of the game than inside of the game. And so I'm curious to see what this ends up being, whether it's like, whether it applies to self-driving cars, or whether it is, Formula One. What if it is like actual race car drivers driving against empty cars, and what that was actually living like a Detroit Become Human style future? We'll have to wait and see. Story number five, speaking of PlayStation, a new PlayStation update is making some changes. I'm pulling from Jay Peters at The Verge. Sony announced that it will begin rolling out its second PS5 software beta on Wednesday, bringing changes including party chat updates, new UI settings, and a preview of a voice command feature. According to Sony's blog about the beta, your PS5 can listen for the, quote, "Hey PlayStation" voice command to let you find and open games, apps, and settings, as well as control playback during a show or a song. If you don't want to use it, Sony says it can turn the feature off in settings. The voice command feature will be available first in English for beta users with accounts registered in the US and the UK. Sony is also making some changes to party chats. Voice chats are now called parties, and you can now choose. I'm laughing, and I'll tell you why in a second. You can now now choose whether a party is open, meaning your friends can join without an invitation, or closed. However, only other users on the beta can join open parties for the moment. There are a handful of other new features as well, such as the ability to keep certain apps or games on the home screen, updates to the design of trophy cards, and more screen reader languages. I'm laughing because I read all this and I'm basically like, all right, cool. So you're putting in the features that we have on PS4. Because like, if I recall correctly, there were voice commands on the PS4. I forget if like you said, hey, PlayStation, to activate that, but like, was that it? Because I remember using voice commands on the PS4. Mm-hmm. And then also like parties were parties on PS4. They changed them for PS5 to like make them a little bit more, I think, Discord-like in their setup. A lot of this I find funny for that, but also good on them for implementing changes and updates. I'm sure when this actually pans out, it'll be better for the PS5 user experience.
Yeah, it feels like the kind of update that will only be relevant for like 6 months until it's finally, okay, now Discord is fully on the PlayStation, just forget all of that party crap that we've been... I thought the party experience on PlayStation 5 has been terrible. Like, I don't know what it is, but when me and my like group would play Warzone, it was so easy on PlayStation 4. Everyone in this group, invites were super easy, but on PlayStation 5, it's just, there's like persistent parties and things like that. And if I'm getting confused by that, and it's literally my job to like play a PlayStation 5 every day, it's not the smoothest user experience,
but
at least it doesn't just say like improve stability. There's like a bit of kind of description to it.
Yeah, and I like the you know, being able to pin certain games and apps on the home screen. That's a feature that the Xbox has that I really like. You know, like I know the three games that I'm going to turn on my Xbox for. It is Rare Replay, Forza Horizon 5, and Cuphead. And so those are all pinned on my Xbox home screen. I like the ability to be able to do that. I also want folders. They don't mention folders here, which solves a similar issue. Like, give me folders as well, because I have those on my PS4, and I want to make a fighting games folder on my PS5. So please implement it.
It's the kind of thing that it would be more than just a random like update, but that the quick resume on Xbox is my number one request for the PlayStation 5. Like, the fact that they have that switcher tab, and it looks like that is exactly how it should work. Like, it's just one day they'll have that.
It's wild, right? Because it feels like it should have been there. The fact that they have the switcher tab. It feels when you open a different game, it doesn't give you the warning, right? Like it did on PS4 of you're gonna close this other game. No, it jumps right in, automatically closes that game. And it's like, that feels like it's meant to have a quick resume like feature. And now it's a, Jordan, I'm sure you've heard of it, right? The season that it is right now, when you look outside of your window and you listen to the trees changing colors, right? It's review season. And what I tell you, it's been such a struggle this review season, hopping between games, right? Like, I'm in the middle of something in one game, in the middle of a quest, and I get a request to somebody being like, hey, you want to play this fighting game? And I'm like, yes, I want to play this fighting game, but I got to make sure that like it's autosaved, or I got to make sure XYZ thing. It's rough out there. And so, there's a lot, right? I lost my save in Dying Light 2. I'm still salty about that because of a save issue that's been patched now. It's all good. But, you know, during the review time, that was not fun. Give me a quick resume. That's what I want. Let's round out the Roper Report with story number 6. It looks like we're going to get some more NES and SNES games coming to Switch, maybe today. This is from Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. Nintendo has reportedly scheduled maintenance for its Switch Online NES and SNES apps immediately after its Nintendo Direct presentation ends today. According to the Nin Status Bot Twitter account, both the NES and SNES apps will go down for maintenance on February 9th. The maintenance will take place shortly after today's Nintendo Direct presentation ends. The apps often go down for maintenance when Nintendo is adding new games to their respective services. The last time the NES and SNES apps received new titles back in July 2021, they underwent maintenance right before it. And so, there you go. You're probably going to get some NES and SNES stuff after the Direct, presumably. I really hope we get Earthbound, because I don't think Earthbound is on there, and I think that is probably the biggest glaring omission. That, and I think Super Mario RPG 2 isn't on there yet.
I think your man from Earthbound tweeted earlier saying that 7 a.m. it's going to be snowing in Japan or something like that, which seems to imply that it might be happening. I don't really know. The thing that interests me is it is understood that Game Boy games will eventually come to this service, and that is kind of that's what I'm waiting for personally, because that's the system that has more attachment to me. I never had an NES or SNES. And I want to see the Game Boy games arrive, and I want to see if the Pokemon Company is actually going to play ball and put those Pokemon games on the service, or if that will be a separate issue. Because I could very easily see them saying no.
Because that'd be so sad.
Yeah, I could see them saying, okay, well, since you have this emulator running, they're 10 quid each, and then you can just buy them separately. Maybe you get like Pokemon Pinball, which is Pokemon Pinball is an amazing game. That's no short change, but I don't personally see mainline Pokemon games coming to an NSO. But I think Earthbound is the one you do. People want Earthbound. It would be very tone deaf for them to not do this. So I think this will happen. But
yeah, like when you're talking about the last big SNES games that haven't made it to SNES Online, right? I think you are talking about Earthbound. You're talking about Mario RPG. And then I'm sure there are others, but those are the first thing that come to mind. Like, it's hard for me to think about anything else, honestly, between those two. I forget, like, Street Fighter's not on there, right? Like, Super Street Fighter. I'm sure people might get excited for that if you put that on there.
Yeah, I think because it's part of that like Capcom arcade thing that you can also get in Switch, maybe that would like, I mean, you can play Street Fighter on like.
That's the thing is like, you're talking about like, whatever, what do they have the ability to put on there, right? And like, what feels like an easy win? And Earthbound is one that feels like an easy win. It's like, why isn't Earthbound on there?
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see. I think somebody, I saw somebody in chat mention Chrono Trigger, which might have been a good one to throw out there too. Somebody says, where's Pokemon Puzzle League? Which is N64 Online, but yes, I do want Pokemon Puzzle. There's a lot of games we still need for N64 Online, yeah. Right? So let's get patient with that one, because that's going to be a long journey before we get there. NES games, I'm curious to see what's left to put on there, too. Like, I feel like all the NES games I care about, I think, are on Switch Online. I wonder if they're going to dig in the bag to pull out any, like, more obscure ones, because every time now you get that tweet of games coming to NES Online, it is always games that I would have thought they made up. You know, it's like, oh, here's Brick Bobble Breaker. And I'm like, yeah. I didn't know that exists. That sounds like two different games you just put together. Like, you know, it's always one of those. And so,
yeah, it's
I'm
kind of
to
thing
see
where
if they have something Nintendo Direct worthy.
It's nice to have those on there because you want these games to be preserved, but they need to put a good one and then sneak in like 10 games that no one's heard of just to add them to the library. So I could see that happening as well.
Frog Knight in chat says, I love Brick Bobble Breaker. Also, somebody in chat said Paperboy, which I would have assumed Paperboy's on there. Paperboy's a good one to call out. I love Paperboy. I would put Paperboy on NES Online. I'm with it. Jordan, I can't wait to see if Pokemon comes to Nintendo Switch Online via a GBC backwards compatible app. But the answers to that are so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Pop shops today, where would I look?
I would look on the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. I have a love-hate relationship with chat. Because every now and then, you know, chat will be roasting me, which sometimes is warranted. Sometimes I'm like, oh, get out of here. I know I'm right about what I'm saying, and you'll see soon. Game Pass is going to come to PlayStation by 2026. Mark my words. But then every now and then, chat hits me with the jokes, and they're hilarious. And when I mention Paperboy, right, everybody in chat is like, oh, I love Paperboy. It's my favorite character in Atlanta. Very good jokes, chat. Very good jokes. You guys are out there killing it. Keep bringing that energy and that humor, because that is what I'm talking about. Out today, we got Unbound, Worlds Apart for PS5 and PS4, Backbone for Switch and Mac, El Gancho for Switch, Action Arcade Wrestling for Switch, Letters A Written Adventure for Switch and PC, and then Diplomacy Is Not an Option for PC. We got two new days for you. Camping Builder, the demo, is coming to Steam on February 21st. And then Conan Chop Chop will launch on March 1st on PC, Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. Of course, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in less than what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. And let's see here. Mm-mm. This person starts off saying it's not a year wrong. It was not a year wrong. Why are you adding it in? To me, buddy, does say not a year wrong, but not sure if you saw this. While live, the Wolf Among Us 2 trailer got released. We knew this is going to happen because they had scheduled their stream for the same time as KFGD, and so it's hard to cover both things at once. But yes, there is a new Wolf Among Us 2 trailer. If you're hype about Wolf Among Us 2, go check out that trailer, and we'll probably talk about it maybe on tomorrow's KFGD or casually on shows. Let's see. That's it for your wrong. The rest of these aren't your wrongs. The rest of these are people playing around talking about.
Are they just attacking my opinion? Are they just saying that?
No, actually, nobody in here is attacking your opinion. And in fact, I saw chat cheering you on, which upsets me.
Finally, once.
It's like, finally, it's my time. It's my moment. I'm going to champion that Breath of the Wild isn't as great as you all say it is. Man, wild people out there. Wild people who think that Breath of the Wild isn't a masterpiece. But I'm not here to argue. I'm just here to speak the truth. Today's Wednesday, of course, so that means tomorrow's Thursday. And your host for Kinda Funny Games Daily will be Greg and Tim. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this, is Mike and Greg playing some Lost Ark, that new game from Amazon? I think it's from Amazon. So get hyped for that. If you want to catch that stream later. It's the new MMO, right, from Amazon? Yeah. Not the one that came out months ago that went real fast.
No one. Well, I mean...
Another one that's going to come and go. People still play New World?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Every
Fran's
night.
In there.
But Fran plays everything.
So the big thing about this game is this game has mounts. So.
Did New World not have mounts?
No, and it's a problem.
Interesting. But Kevin, what's your bet on how long Lost Ark stays around?
I got to check it out first. Okay. But I mean, not long. You know, it releases next week, right? Right now, you can just buy it for like $15. And then it's free to play next week. Okay. So easily 3 weeks, I'd say.
Yeah, that's fair. That's longer than New World. That's longer than New World.
Yeah.
Jordan, before you get out of here, plug your stuff. Where can people find you? Where can people follow you on Twitter? Where can people find your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jordan Midler. It's JordanMidler. Not verified because I can't get verified for 12 months because I called my good friend a bad word and they banned me for 12 hours. Not worth talking about.
Which bad word? I'm very curious.
So
it's not worth talking about. I'm just kidding.
It's the one that Americans really don't like, but people in the UK say all the time.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah,
it's the best one, especially in a Scottish accent. It just sounds so perfect.
Oh, I wish I could hear it.
But yes, so there's so
we'll get in the post show. In the post show, we'll have Jordan say it.
Exclusive content. But you can find all of my writing, reviews, news on Video Games Chronicle, VGC. There's lots coming up. Horizon Forbidden West review coming soon. Lots of stuff happening.
Hell yeah. Jordan, thank you so much for joining me. This has been an awesome episode. You have awesome taste in games, except for when it comes to Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you. Harsh. And it's harsh, but it's right? Like,
true.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it's harsh, but true.
It's true.
Yeah.
No.
Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.